Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts. Aww. He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always, as I continue to broadcast from the Administaff Small Business Classic here in the Woodlands, Texas, north of Houston, up I-45 in Woodlands, hard by to Spring, Texas, where the exactly where the golf tournament is at Augusta Pines Golf Course, an outstanding golf course. I played it yesterday and had a lot of fun. Bruce Summerhays, outstanding individual, great ambassador for the game of golf and for the Champions Tour. But we got to wrap it up our week this week today and heading back to our normal environs. But before we do, we got to visit with our good friend Fred Sen. Fred is co-founder of Fallon Worldwide. He's also co-author of Juicing the Orange, and he is the guy who teaches us how to be more creative as we enter the marketplace, as we go after those customers. Fred, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be with you. Happy Friday. Yeah. And the whole notion here is, how do we turn creativity into a powerful business advantage? Because especially small business entrepreneurs out there are very, very creative people. And we just got to power that creativity through to the bottom line.
Absolutely. Isn't Geico one of your customers?
Yes, sir. No. Geico is not one of our customers, but can talk about their work. I sure admired it.
No. I was trying to remember some of your. There was something. Which recent program have you guys done that was pretty exciting? I couldn't remember which one it was.
One that we've been doing for about 9 years is Holiday Inn Express.
Oh yeah.
I may not be a radio business talk show host, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
I have more fun with that than anything else. People will say something. I use that once a week, and it never fails to get a laugh.
Yeah.
It never fails to get a laugh. And I always give you credit for it, too, by the way.
Well, it's done so well for Holiday Inn Express. They're wonderful folks who've been with us for about 9 years. That's a very good franchise. And they know how to use that theme. Keep it going. They wouldn't change horses on that one because it's working for them.
That's an interesting point there. Do you see something that you like and it looks like it works, and then all of a sudden you don't see it anymore? Why do companies decide to leave what I consider to be a good franchise?
Well, two reasons. One is that they just get bored with it themselves. It's been there for 3 years, 4 years, and
so what? If it works, so what?
Well, I know, but they want something fresh. They don't understand the equity that they've already built in the market. So a lot of times, we've gone back to a company like when we had Timex watches. We went back and pulled back the old takes a look and licking and keeps on tapping. That resonates with people. They remember that. We've got to use that. The other reason that people leave what they've been doing well is there's a change in management. The guy comes in and says, I got a better idea.
I want to put my thumbprint on.
But the best way to do it, and the guest that was just down was talking about
yep.
And the very best way to find out whether or not it's time to change is to talk to customers. Do they remember? Do they roll their eyes? Do they like it? Does a smile light up their face? You can't do it in a survey. You got to go face-to-face. But all clients have a way of measuring the power of their brand by talking to their customers. And they'll know when to change. We'll all know when it's
isn't it wacky? You have to say, talk to your customers. I know that's the most unintuitive thing to imagine, ladies and gentlemen, but it's true, isn't it? Isn't it? It's like we get so caught up, we forget that we should actually be talking to our customers, and just selling to them does not necessarily mean you're talking to them.
No, that's there's so much research going on these days, and you get reams of data and columns of numbers, but there's not much insight. When you get out and talk to your customers, or really analyze that data, and then go talk to your customers, we believe that there's something out there that your customer knows and feels about the category of business you're in, knows and feels about you, that if you can discover that, you've got a real advantage. So you're so right. You've got to talk to customers.
Yep. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break.
Sure.
We'll come back, folks, with Fred. One of the things I want to talk to him, I want to change the subject just a little bit and talk about how to get the right customer mix. You know, everybody wants the big customer, the whale. Everybody wants to, you know, to slay the big dragon and everything. But is that the right thing for you? It might be. What kind of a mix of customers should you have? And Fred's the best at helping us understand that. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blau. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Watch for the emotions on a God. There was no use talking. There was nothing to say when the band began to play. And we danced like a wave on the ocean romance. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blaxingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find our show, live, replay, thousands of archives. All the shows, include all the interviews done today, folks, will be up on an archive within a couple of hours of when I go off the air, hour or so, actually, when I go off the air, and you can go there. And anything we've done all the way back to 99, we've been archiving since then. You can go back and listen to those over and over again to your little heart's content. And, of course, you can podcast them. We have that capability now. Don't forget to check out the articles, thousands of those. My newsletter is there, and our blog is as well. Our Brain Trust members are all there. And the barrier to entry, if you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us and use it to your advantage. And also, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. We're visiting with our good friend Fred Sen. He's co-founder of Fallon Worldwide, which is an ad and marketing, advertising and marketing agency, and co-author of Juicing the Orange. And we're talking about customers. We're talking about how to find customers, how to keep those customers. Fred, we were talking off the air, and I alluded to it as we went to the end of the last break. How do you decide how to have the kind of customer mix? You know, everybody wants to have the big customer. And big customers are good, but you know what? Sometimes they bring more problems than solutions, don't they?
They do. But, Lord, I'd love a couple new big customers right now. What all of us are doing as business people is we ought to be thought about our customer portfolio, just like your stock portfolio. Because just some of the advantages of having customer groups in different sizes are that you lower your risk. You know, we always say we're two telephone calls away from bankruptcy.
Absolutely.
If our two biggest clients call us.
That's right.
Bad news. Also, you want some smaller, faster-moving, more nimble clients get work out faster. The meetings are, the bigger the customers, the longer the meetings.
Right.
So you want, and you want something young people that they can take responsibility for. If it's a big client, you can bet that the big dogs are going to be going out there every time. The young people don't get much experience in managing an account. So another reason we like to have small clients in is their entrepreneurial enthusiasm and opportunity for the young people.
Right.
So you never want to get any time a customer gets to be more than 15% of your business, you know, first of all, congratulations, you're growing them. But secondly,
yeah,
it's time to start looking for another big fish as well.
Well, exactly, and I really believe the Pareto principle applies to customers. If you got any customer who, as you use the 15% rule, I completely agree. That is the Pareto principle. Anybody who's, or if you've got, even if you got a couple of customers that are 50% of your business, like you said, you know, you're a couple of phone calls. I remember when that happened, Fred. I don't know if you remember, but I remember fourth quarter of 2000. I knew some people who got phone calls. They got one friend of mine had a pretty good sized business. He was working with some big companies, And that was the beginning of the recession that we had in the early part of this decade. And he said in one day, he got three phone calls from three customers who didn't even know each other, didn't know what the other company was doing, what was going on. He got three phone calls in one day telling him that not only were they going to have to quit working with him, they weren't even sure when they were going to be able to pay him for what he'd already done.
Yep. No, I remember that quarter very, very well.
Yeah. And so you got to be careful. It's good to go after the whales, and it's good to get them, but I just don't think, especially for small business, you know, I've known small businesses that went after Walmart and got them, and they wound up going out of business because of it.
Sure, that's hunting big game.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. It's pretty exciting. It's just a high-risk game.
But so the tail wags the dog. The tail wags the dog sometimes,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. And the other thing you obviously have to look at is profit per customer, revenue per customer.
Yeah.
And make sure that because the larger customers have more leverage and can knock down your margins faster.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Walmart did to these companies.
Oh yeah, yeah. They all do that.
Yeah.
Makes you pretty efficient. Makes you pretty good at pricing and operations.
Right. But do you recommend that you have two different strategies? One strategy for the going after bigger customers. One strategy for the smaller customers. Maybe even two different kinds of internal groups.
I've never seen that. I'm sure companies do it, and they divide up their accounts based on the size of the account. It wouldn't work in our particular business because we all work on everything.
Yeah.
What we find is that people that are assigned to a small account, nimble account, sort of need that for their mental energy because
right. The
big dogs are going to be just harder to move along.
Right. Yeah, that's true. They do move a lot slower. And you know, and which brings up another topic, Fred, and that is, shouldn't we try to have fun while we're doing business too?
Well, we believe in that principle so much, but I want to make a distinction about fun. It's not having a beer at the end of the day or a ping pong table in the basement
No.
or something like
Right.
that. There's an organic kind of fun at work, and we've all sensed it, but it's when you're working with people that whose ability you respect.
Yes.
When you feel good about yourself, you feel you're being listened to.
And that's the kind of fun. Fred, that's the kind of fun I'm talking about. And those are the customers that I'm looking for. Stand by. We're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Fred Sen, the co-author of Juicing the Orange, available wherever books are sold. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, wrapping up our week at the Administaff Small Business Classic, mixing golf and small business together. It's like a Reese cup where you put chocolate and peanut butter together. It's just a wonderful combination. And we're visiting with another golfer, Fred Sen, likes to play a little golf. He's co-founder of Fallon Worldwide and also co-author of Juicing the Orange. An outstanding book that I certainly recommend to you folks and have many times. Fred, take about a half minute and tell us about Juicing the Orange.
Well, Pat and I had been in business for 25 years, we thought we'd put down everything we had learned about marketing, communications, and creativity and see if we could pass it on to the people inside the firm, the young 25-year-olds that are coming to work. And Harvard got interested in the story, and they became our publisher. And we think we've got seven principles that will help people be more creative and have more of a creative impact on their business. So we took our best 10 cases and spun the yarn, and
yep.
not in a studious way, but as if you and I were having a beer together and you were asking me, how did you do that United Airlines campaign, or how did you do
right.
that BMW campaign?
Right.
What were the thinking behind it? What were the fights behind it? How did you
and you converted those messages into language that small business owners can convert directly into their business?
Right. Even though it's about great big businesses, many small business people and even nonprofits have come and said, I learned from that. I learned that I can't make the problem so complicated that it's impossible to solve. I've got to simplify the problem.
Right.
I learned how to collaborate better.
Fred, give us the website. Tell us where the book's available.
The book's available at Amazon or any bookstore. They can also go to www.juicingtheorange.com just to learn a little bit more about the book.
And that's, you said Pat Fallon.
Pat Fallon, yeah.
And Fred Sinn, or S-E-N-N, ladies and gentlemen, are the two authors of that book. Give us a little, we got a couple of minutes left before we have to go, Fred. Continue what you were talking about a minute ago, just now about what the book, some of the ideas in the book that small business owners have benefited from.
Well, you know, the problem that we find ourselves in right now, Jim, and the thing we want people to be, why we want them to be creative, is that traditional advertising media, direct mail and television and radio and newspaper, as you and I were discussing, is on a slow decline in terms of its ability to help business people reach their marketplace.
And why is that?
Why is that? Because consumers are getting technology that helps them avoid advertising. The truth of the matter is we killed the golden goose. Mm-hmm. If you have 24 minutes of non-programmed time in an hour of television, like the program Desperate Housewives does.
Right.
There's too much of it. So people have that remote in their right hand, and every time a commercial comes on, they jump over to the ball game.
Yep.
So at the same time, you've got this wonderful Internet thing coming up. But we marketers, we advertisers, we haven't quite figured out how to use that to connect with our customers. And the truth of the matter is today, we're all in the service business.
Right.
And the Internet is a great service tool. So we got to experiment. You got to get out there and...
But you and I talked about this a minute ago off the air. You actually believe that radio, though, is still going to be, as old as radio is, it's still going to be competitive in the 21st century.
Well, I believe it is. Now, you've got satellite radio on one hand, but there's an awful lot of people that, when they're driving, especially during drive time, they've got that radio on, and they build loyalty to stations, and they build loyalty to radio personalities, as you well know. So especially for nonprofits that I advise that have no money or clients getting started, say, try some radio. Try some radio, because you can be creative with it. You can also engage the station and the personality in the work itself. So,
you know, what's been interesting to me is to see how the radio industry has also been able to combine the Internet into their overall program. I mean, a lot of radio stations, you can hear the show that they broadcast over their website on the Internet.
I do that. And it extends the reach of a station far beyond its normal geography.
Fred, I've got to wrap it up. What is Fallon's website?
Fallon's website is www.fallon.com. Pretty unconfusing.
Fallon.com.
Right,
and juicingtheorange.com is the book, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Hey, Fred, thanks for being here. Good job today. You always do a great work for us. We're looking forward to getting you back on again real soon.
Have a great weekend, and no three putts, Jim.
There you go. Okay. Fred Sinn, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, signing off from the Administaff Small Business Classic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.